Getting a divorce, even thinking about getting a divorce, can be overwhelming, scary, and sometimes exciting. Join divorce coach and mediator Mandy Walker for conversations about divorce. The more you know, the easier it will be to make your divorce healthier, less stressful, and to put it behind you. Here's Mandy.
Welcome to Conversations About Divorce, and today we're talking about getting divorced without using attorneys. Now, getting divorced is an expensive business. I'm in Colorado, and the figure I often hear for having an attorney to represent you is 10 to 15 grand. That's not in total, that's each person. And that's just for a very basic elementary divorce. So it's money that people often don't have, and that's driving more and more people to handle the end of their marriage themselves. So today, joining us is Jason Lavoie. Jason is an attorney who now teaches people how to represent themselves in court and to navigate the divorce process. Welcome, Jason.
Thanks, Mandy. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. The first question that I wanted to ask you, Jason, is why would an attorney be telling people not to use attorneys? I mean, how do other attorneys react to you now? Do they, like, stay away from you at cocktail parties, or?
Yeah, I know. I'm still trying to figure out if that's a smart business decision or not. But the way I look at it and the way I kind of communicate my message is that I am not in conflict or competition with other attorneys. In other words, I'm not fighting for their clients. What I'm doing is actually taking the leftovers that other attorneys don't want for whatever reason. You know, a lot of it is generally due to financial considerations. You know, if a party doesn't have the financial resources to afford an attorney for the long term, the attorney might not take the case. But that's right. Where I would come in and say, I'm happy to take you because I cost a fraction of what an attorney in a divorce will retain you for. And so I think we can all be friends. And so far I've gotten nothing but good feedback, and I'm hoping it continues.
Well, that's great. I do know attorneys who are moving more and more to, like, mediation and collaborative divorce models, because they say that they're finding that the traditional litigation model of divorce is too much stress for them even.
Exactly. That's frankly the reason why I got out of the litigation field. I was practicing litigation, doing divorce work exclusively for about 4 years, and then it just got to me, and I didn't feel like I was helping anybody, including my own clients. And it wears on you, and I thought to myself, there has to be a better way. And so that's where I came up with this model. And it's a model, like I said, that I don't know really any other attorneys who are practicing it. I am a fan of mediation and collaborative divorce, but even that still has its limitations and is part of the overall litigation model. I don't represent clients directly in their divorces anymore.
Right. So you're helping them learn about the legal system. So let me just say, like, how would a person, if somebody was listening to this and thinking, wow, that sounds great, I think we should do our own divorce and save 10, 15 grand each. Do you have some general guidelines for when it's possible for people to do their own divorce and when they really should be looking to more of a representation type model?
Sure. And I want to be very clear, because I try to convey this, you know, as often as I can to people so there's no confusion, and especially since I don't get backlash from other attorneys. My message to people is not to go out and do your own divorce. My message to people is, if you have the financial wherewithal and you can afford to retain an attorney, then go out and retain an attorney. I'm definitely not a substitute for that. But if you cannot hire an attorney, or you have an attorney but the money ran out, then instead of going it alone, because the courts are going to push you through the divorce process, whether you have an attorney or not. If you don't, if you can't afford an attorney, I'm your next best choice.
Okay.
And I will teach you everything I know to put you in the best position to succeed.
Okay. So, Jason, how would a person decide whether or not their situation would lend itself to doing it themselves? So, for example, I always tell my clients that if there's a whiff of a child custody dispute, that's like if either parent wants to restrict child custody for any reason, I'm telling them you have got to get legal representation. That's way too risky a topic for you to do this yourself. You're not going to do very well if you try to represent yourself in this area. Would you agree with that? And are there other circumstances when you tell clients that they really do need legal representation?
Absolutely. Especially if you're dealing with a child custody, for example, that's a complicated area of law. And unless you are comfortable and well-versed in what you need to prove and what a court's looking for in a custody situation, I would highly encourage you to have an attorney guide you. If you can't afford an attorney to represent you in court, then at the very least, go for a consultation. So you have some knowledge base. You know, but for the people who can't, you know, another example, for example, would be, you know, domestic violence. A lot of people who are victims of domestic violence are not in the right frame of mind to try to represent themselves.
Right, because the secondary trauma, I mean, real, not secondary, it's traumatic for them, and they may have some post-traumatic stress disorder there.
Exactly. And it's not a fair, they're not on a level playing field, whether they think so or not. So a lot of courts and a lot of states don't even let people in domestic violence situations try to negotiate or go to mediation. They won't even let you do that because they know it's not a fair playing field. And it's the victim of domestic violence, whether they think so or not, is not negotiating from a position of strength.
Right.
And that's what you want whenever you negotiate anything, whether it's custody or who gets the kitchen table.
Right. Other situations that I was thinking too, that if you know that your spouse has trouble making a decision, such as, you know, that could be because of a mental illness, such as depression or anxiety, then that's where having them use an attorney is going to help you, because the attorney is going to help them push them into making a decision.
Well, right. I mean, it depends on the severity of what you're talking about with that. You know, when you get into mental illness, there's something called competency requirements. And, you know, all courts typically have, in order to do anything, even testify, whether you have an attorney or not, you have to be competent. And if you have mental illness, that might raise an issue where, you know, let's say the court would have to appoint a guardian for you. But if you can't make decisions, or you have high anxiety, or even if you are depressed and, you know, not yourself, that's all the more reason why you need an advocate for you. And that's what a lawyer is an advocate. I help people who don't have those advocates. I try to teach them how to be their own advocate.
Okay. So how do you start that process off?
Well, it depends on who I'm dealing with. Everybody's different, and everybody, you know, comes from a different background and education level. So it's really a case-by-case basis. But, you know, depending on why that person is in court to begin with, if it's a full divorce, then I start from the beginning. And, you know, I will help them and coach them through each phase of the process. However, a lot of people come to me, you know, who maybe are already divorced and they're dealing with a post-judgment custody issue, for example. Well, then that's a very you know, segmented issue, and I just help them with that.
Right.
If they have a hearing, I coach them and teach them the law and teach them, you know, what the court's going to be looking for, you know, how to act in court. You know, I cover all the bases.
So
don't leave.
I was going to say, like, Colorado, which is where I am, has made it pretty easy for people to handle their own divorce. But I've heard statistics that some 70% of people, of parties in divorce in Colorado, are pro se. They're representing themselves. But it's still a confusing process if you're not familiar with legal terms and legal processes. I know here in my local court, we have, there's a forms clinic that is provided with volunteer attorneys. They hold those, I think, twice a month for people to go to for guidance on how to complete forms. There's also a self-help clinic that we have at our courthouse now. What the slang terms are, Sherlocks, the self-represented litigant helpers. And I'm wondering if those are the sort of resources that you point your clients to.
Well, absolutely. I'm in New Jersey, and so we have similar type of resources for people who don't have attorneys. But I go beyond that, because what I find is that most times, even with those resources, it's still not enough, and people are still left confused. You know, you can give somebody a form and say, this is the form that you need to fill out, but it's another story to understand what to put in the form. Or, you know, it's one thing to say to teach somebody about, you know, having to go to court for a custody hearing. It's another thing to literally teach them what to do and what not to do inside a courtroom, etiquette-wise. And so that's what I do. I definitely point out all the available resources that are out there, but I'm kind of trying to fill the void even further and you know, and give them more information and arm them with more tools so that they can show up in court and advocate for themselves with confidence.
Okay. So what about, I'm going to come back to that. I'm just going to remind our listeners, I'm Mandy Walker. You're listening to Conversations About Divorce, and today we're talking about getting divorced without hiring attorneys. My guest is Jason Levoy, who's an attorney in New Jersey who specializes in helping people do this themselves. And Jason, you have a free video course that our listeners can access.
Absolutely. If anybody's interested in learning how to prepare for divorce and they don't have an attorney, you can register for the free video course at Jason Levoy at levoy.com/free course.
Great. Jason, I want to come back to how feasible it is or how somebody gets started. If they know that their marriage is over and they're looking to get divorced, they don't have a lot of money, and they start to think, well, gee, you know, I've heard about people doing it themselves. I wonder if that's going to work for me. And I know, like, here in Colorado, the state has made it pretty easy to get a ton of information on their website with forms and flowcharts that map out the process. But I think that, you know, it can still be confusing for somebody who isn't at all familiar with it. Do you have a sense of what other resources are available out there?
Well, like you said, I think the first step is to check your state's website. Every state has its own specific divorce laws. And so it's important to understand, you know, what that is and find out as much as you can on your own. So, you know, your state's website is the first resource I would go to. If you're not sure what that is, you could just Google it, you know, your state and the word divorce, and it should be one of the first few options. Another way to check out what resources are available for you is to Google your state again and either legal services or, you know, divorce referral programs. You know, for example, in New Jersey, we have, it's called legal services, and that's for people who are indigent and you know, qualify. There's limited services available. In other states, it's called other things, but every state usually has some sort of legal services program that people can find out information about.
Right, and it's really, and I also tell people to like do all the research before you start filing for divorce if you can, if you're not under a desperate
Absolutely.
Pressure, because you just, if you don't really know what you're doing and you have questions about it, having the time pressure of a court hearing coming up in 42 days is just going to stress you out more.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't recommend anybody starting any process without knowing what you're getting yourself involved with, because again, I can't speak for Colorado, but you know, in New Jersey, once you file a complaint for divorce, you're on the court's radar, and whether you're ready or not, they're going to push you through the process. And
right.
So people who come to me and I counsel them, I say, learn as much as you can. And sometimes there's people that often you can settle your entire divorce and only then do you file the complaint, as a formality, you know,
right.
But there's no rule that I'm aware of that says, well, first you have to file a complaint for divorce and then you can start it.
Right.
No, you can do most of the legwork, and you probably should do most of the legwork before you file anything with the court. Because again, once the court's aware that you exist, whether you're ready or not, they're gonna start pushing you through the process. You're gonna have to, you know, show up for court appearances, and if you're not ready for that or you have no idea what that involves, you're gonna find yourself in a pickle.
That's a great point. I really like that message about don't just look at the first step, look at everything that it's going to take, and then start, and then you'll, and then you can start researching those forms and gathering all the information. So one thing I always tell people is that when their spouse is saying, hey, we don't need to use attorneys, we can do it ourselves, is that that is a red flag, because too many times I've heard stories about that being a spouse who's seeking to take advantage of their spouse being less informed, maybe to get a quick agreement, that potentially to get an agreement that is not equitable and is below or less than what would have been obtained if they'd got legal advice. So how do you counsel your clients to guard against that situation?
Well, if I ever feel that there's a unequal playing field, then that's a big red flag, like you said. You know, you have to be very careful when you're negotiating a divorce. Whether you have an attorney or not. Now, there are couples who, you know, amicably get divorced and are on the same page and are aware of all the assets that need to be distributed and come to, you know, an agreement amicably. There definitely are those couples. But I would say that's probably more the exception than the rule. And you have to be very careful about encouraging people to sign off on something or come to an agreement just to get the process over with. You know, I've heard that story so many times where, whether it's the wife or the husband, they say, you know, oh, I agreed to that at the time, and then years later they regret it, and
yes.
The only reason they agreed to it was because, you know, they wanted to get it over with and move on.
Right, right.
And
I've
I understand
heard that too.
And I can appreciate that, but, you know, this is your life you're talking about, and you really only get one shot at it, because, you know, there are ways to kind of go back and revisit a divorce settlement agreement, but it's hard.
Right, but what you're talking about there is stamina during the negotiation period, and also what I tell people is, you know, try not to see it as being a painful, disastrous, disgusting, or terrible experience. It's just, it's a business negotiation that you have to work through, and it will be over. But you're right. You have to pay attention to this, because you don't get a do-over.
It's very hard, and what you do get it right. It's not a do-over, and it's extremely, it's an uphill battle to revisit any settlement agreement that you sign off on. And a divorce, that's all it is. It's a business decision. And if everybody treated it like that, I think you would have a lot less litigation.
Well, but, I do suspect that, you know, getting people to think and to realize that they could do their divorce themselves is a step in the right direction in terms of making this more manageable, or more realizing that every relationship has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and we're helping people to manage the end in a less confrontational, less conflict way.
Right, assuming that there's, you know, full disclosure and fairness and equal negotiating power, absolutely. You know, you don't have to go to court to get divorced.
Right.
And so you can either use a mediator. You know, some states have what's called collaborative divorce. And those are all great options, but it takes two to tango, I always tell people. So if both parties are on the same page and want to mediate, then that's great. I encourage that all the time. It's cheaper, it's quicker, but both parties have to be on the same page. If one party, you know, is not, then the process isn't going to work, and then you're going to find yourself litigating in court.
Well, a couple of points off there, like going back to what we were saying about making sure there's a level playing field. I do tell people that they should get at least a legal consultation, and a lot of attorneys now are doing unbundled services where you can consult with them for an hour. You don't have to retain them as an attorney, but you can go for a specific topic such as spousal support or a parenting plan or moving out of state, relocation, those issues. And I think that you can do that with transparency, and both of you say, I'm going to go talk to an attorney. I'm going to go talk to an attorney, and then we'll come back. We'll share our notes, and we'll see what we can come to an agreement. But both of them will then be informed as to what the parameters are for their own situation and for the specifics that they're talking about.
Right, and I think that's great advice, and I encourage that also. You know, nobody wants to leave or finish divorce with question marks about whether what they agreed to is fair or not. And the best way to get a reading on that is to consult with an attorney. Now, I would tell you that you have to choose that attorney very wisely, in the sense that, you know, I've seen, unfortunately, people who go to mediation and they, you know, the mediator comes to a settlement and everybody seems to be on the same page. Then one party or both will go have that agreement independently reviewed by an attorney. And if you choose an attorney who's a litigator, I've seen it happen. That attorney will, you know, undo everything that was done. And it's a shame because, you know, that attorney is acting perhaps not in the client's best interest.
So that really speaks to like the you have to stay in control of the divorce process, and you have to do your research, collect your information, and know it's a situation where you say, know what you're getting into if you do get it reviewed by an attorney who's going to want to litigate, you can still say no to that. You can still say, no, I hear what you're saying, but I'm satisfied with this.
Absolutely. And the point is just to know. You know, you want to understand what you're signing and the effects of what you're signing. And that's what the attorney's job at that point in the process is, just to tell you, to make sure you understand all the terms and what they really mean.
Right.
And then it's your decision. Absolutely.
And you can start off with trying to do this yourself and see how you go. And if you get bogged down with not being able to make an agreement because you're not able to communicate with each other or because you can't compromise, then you do still have the option of going the traditional route.
Absolutely. I think it really all boils down to communication. You know, if two people can communicate, then they can, you know, perhaps come to an agreement. However, I find that in a divorce, you know, one of the reasons most people getting divorced is because the communication is broken down at some level. So that's not always easy to do, to say, oh, as long as you two can communicate. But the more two people can accomplish on their own, the better it will be. Because, you know, the less hands, you know, are meddling in the pot, you know. So if people can agree on, let's say, you know, alimony or, you know, a parenting schedule and custody, then that's great. And if they have trouble dividing some of the assets, then, you know, they can go visit an attorney jointly or a mediator. I would rather, you know, suggest hire a mediator to kind of help them resolve the remaining issues.
That's great. That's really helpful, because I think that what you're saying then is to solve the easy stuff yourself and then just bring in some additional help to help you work on the really hard stuff.
Well, right, because whoever you bring in, you're paying for their time. And so why would you want to pay for something that you can do yourself?
Right. And that, you know, Jason, is it in a nutshell, isn't it? That's where we started. And I want to thank you for helping our listeners understand that they do have a choice here in terms of how to get divorced. It's not it is a field that's changing. People do have more options now. And I want to thank you for sharing your expertise today.
I'm glad I did, and thank you for having me.
Do you have any more advice for our listeners?
Yes. How much time do you have?
How about?
I would say
two sentences.
My biggest piece of advice would be to go out there and find out as much information as you can first, and then whatever help you may need, then you can hire that help for those limited purposes. It's not an all or nothing issue when you're talking about a divorce. So knowledge is power, and you can go out there and get the knowledge.
That's great. Thank you very much, Jason. You're making me, I'm thinking of a general contractor type role. Like, you can be the general contractor for your home renovation project, and it's the same with a divorce. You can be the general contractor and hire the help that you need. So this is an important conversation. It's a decision that anyone who's getting divorced needs to make. I think you have to be really smart about making it. You absolutely need to have legal advice. I don't want you doing this by yourself simply because you don't want to pay an attorney, but you do it because you and your spouse are able to come to an agreement. You're able to work through the process yourself, and you're able to communicate. Maybe in an ideal world, we would all be able to manage our own divorces, but our world is not ideal. Divorce is messy, and divorce tends to bring out the worst in us. One company that's trying to make it less stressful and to provide more support for people going through divorce while keeping the legal process affordable is WeVorce. Michelle Crosby is co-founder and CEO of WeVorce. And Michelle, what makes WeVorce different from hiring an attorney?
Well, there's a few different things that make us distinctly different, and I always begin with how we approach it. And our philosophy around divorce is that it is not a legal problem, it just has legal implications. And when you're going through the second most stressful event of your life, you need to be working with people that are here to guide you through it in a system that is really going to help you get through it, minimizing those stresses. WeVorce is a process that takes less than 90 days, and we do upfront pricing so that we're removing those stresses. We can help you predict how long it takes, the team that will be most helpful, and we can reduce the cost so that you can really be focused on your family. Because as you choose to let go of your role of husband and wife, you are always mom and dad, and how you go through your divorce process greatly impacts how you will be able to co-parent. Hard enough to parent one household, let alone two. And we can help through that process so that you're really minimizing the impact on yourself and your children, and getting the settlement that works both for the kind of for each party, so that you're in the best place to begin again, saving as much of your resources for your family.
So, Michelle, I'm just going to interrupt you there. You had said that you do upfront pricing, and I think just that's something of a huge value, because one of the big unknowns with hiring an attorney is how much this is going to cost.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why we want to be able to take that stress away from families, so that you know exactly the steps that are involved, so you have a roadmap for the process, you know what to expect, including the cost. You really shouldn't be a surprise. You know, we work with thousands of families across the country, and we have done this, you know, although it's likely your first time going through a divorce, it's not ours, and we really do know the steps and can predict those. Part of what we do and how we have come up with the upfront pricing is being able to work with so many families that we can predict a lot of those kind of the divorce roadmaps for families. So they don't have to worry about it. No surprises.
Great. And it's just short sentence, quick, maybe any situations that WeVorce doesn't handle?
Well, we enjoy starting the conversation with every family just to make sure that you really are set up and informed about the process. Even if, you know, WeVorce isn't a fit, we are not for every family. Both parties, we ask to work together through this, and sometimes that's just not an option. There is an existing system, the courthouse, for those families.
Right.
What we're really looking for to help those families that are looking for a different way to get through it, very kid-centered, very, you know, minimizing the impact financially and emotionally on their family while they do go through this process.
Great. Well, listeners, you can find out more about WeVorce at WeVorce.com, and that's WeVorce.com, or by calling 855-938-6723. I'm Mandy Walker. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you'll join us again for our next episode of Conversations About Divorce.